continue our teaching on serving the Lord. Let's go. Romans 12 and 11, all right? Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not slothful in business. The word business there is diligence. Where you have the word spode, I showed you that last week, S-P-O-U-D-E. The same word, similar to what you have in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show that's ever proved. It actually means be diligent. Diligence means to keep doing it, to keep at it, and to do it effectively. So he says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The word fervent there, we said, is to boil. Can you remember the word? To boil, right? That means you are boiling, the way you boil something, and it's, you know, it's steaming. So you cannot claim to be serving the Lord and your heart is not there. You can't serve the Lord halfway, alright, and then you can't serve the Lord without zeal. You can't serve the Lord without enthusiasm. It's not possible. So we said, if you claim to have come for church service, remember we said that last week and on Wednesday, we should ask you the question, so who did you serve? Because service, we said, has to be about others. It's not about you. If you come in here and you hear the word of God, you are here to serve anybody. If you come in here, you lift your hands and you bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. You are yet to serve anyone. Service is what you do for others. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So it says, fervent in the spirit, which is your boiling over, serving the Lord. Now, the previous verse, which we examined the other time, actually verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Dissimulation there means pretense. Where you say, but you don't do. Let love be without pretense. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Now, I want us to focus on verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another. Be kindly affectioned one to another. Now, the word there, he now says, with brotherly love. Brotherly love is from the word Philadelphia. Philadelphia has two words, philio and delphos. Philio is to have an affection. To have an affection for someone. And to show it openly. Philio. For example, some of us have affection for family, for friends, some for very strange football clubs. I remember I told them, because in the meeting I preached, I was supposed to have a Holy Ghost meeting in the evening. And I said, if you really want us to have a meeting full of the Spirit, there's a North London Derby. It's a serious matter. You know, you can't tell me what to like, can you? No. So you're going to pray. And say, they saw the result in the evening. And they liked it. Say, well, link it to your prayer earlier in the day. I'm joking. I'm not joking. So, you know, so you like it. Now, Scripture is making it imperative for you and I to like believers. Can you imagine? And there are some believers, you look at them and say, this is going to be by faith. You see that brother and say, this has to be by, I'm going to like this guy or this sister. This has to be by faith. He doesn't know how to talk. Those some brethren don't know how to talk yet. That's my mind though. I say my own though. And the Bible says you're going to like that person well. You show it that you like the person. Wow. Brotherly love. So he says, like the person like a brother. The second word, I said filio, is the other word delphos. Delphos is where you have womb. That is, you love the person with the love of family. Family love. The kind of love you have for your kids. The kind of love you have for your parents and your siblings. I almost said cousins. That usually doesn't work. Like, I love all my cousins equally. It's not likely to be true. Particularly when you go to your hometown and then you now discover the 12 tribes. You get that. So let brotherly love continue with me. Family love, the kind of love you have for people that belong to the same parent. So he says, you be kindly affectioned. Look at that word, key word. Romans 12 and verse 10. So you can't serve the Lord without love. No one who is legalistic. He's legalistic. That all he's doing is to gain righteousness from God. No one like that can serve the Lord, because he's not serving out of love. He's serving out of fear. If you say, okay, turn to your neighbor and say, yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. You're frowning. I can see all over you, which oftentimes is not true. The glory of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. And you're frowning. Your pastor will tell you, if you don't love that brother, you will go to hell. Yes, I love you with the Lord. No, you aren't serving the Lord. You are pretending. Praise the Lord. It has to come from your heart. Now, I've always told you this. The love of God is the wisdom of God in all human relationships. That's the wisdom of God. Love is not for what you will always like. Love oftentimes is for what you don't like. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay, look at this again. They kindly affection one another, say with brotherly love. The kind of love you show to family. The word kindly affectioned is another strong word. I need to put down now. Put this down now. It's the word philo. Remember philo? Still Philadelphia. For the word philo. Philostorgos. P-H-I-L-O. S-T-O-R-G-O-S. P-H-I-L-O-S-T-O-R-G-O-S. Which is family devotion. You know family devotion? You know how family devotion is like? Not that early morning one. I'm saying family devotion. You go to work, you start calling home. So, are you guys at home? Who is at home with you? You get it? Have you taken food? Why? Why are we not eating? And your mom is shouting at you for not eating. You have not eaten. If I, you say, oh, I'm eating. You know that kind of family devotion. Kind of family devotion that you come back from school and then you check your homework when you were younger. Family devotion where your interest is their interest. Family devotion. Philostorgos. That is, you have a devotion of family. You are devoted to that brother like family. Praise the Lord. Or that sister like family. And listen now. Your brother and sister includes your pastors. Am I right? Pastors are not uncles in the body of Christ. My pastor, he's my father's brother. No, he's your brother too. Praise the Lord. Okay, no, come on. Everybody now, talk to me and say, you are my brother. No, me. I didn't talk to someone else. Talk to me and say, you are my brother. You didn't even mean it. Raise your voice higher. Come on. What can I say about you? You are my brethren. Yeah. Some people talk to one person, brethren. Yeah, that's too much for one person. All right, let's go. So he says, you have to love the person like a brother and then show that kind of devotion. Devotion. The way you treat family, that kind of devotion. You know, often that, let me give you this. If you go out, for example, for a function, and then you expected maybe your brother, your sibling, or your son to show up and meet you at that function. And then somebody, before he comes, somebody shows up, and then he looks like he's celebrating Rock Day. You just say, why is this person dressed like this? And that's how you sing. You just, the person has color riots all over, and then the shoes battered, tattered. His hair looked like John the Baptist. That's scriptural and spiritual, right? So he comes and you go, But you know, if now your brother, your sibling shows up the same way, you say, for them. See that? He go, you go, what is this now? No. You cannot disgrace me. No. Stay there. You go and maybe you go and meet your wife or your another sibling. Would you see what you want? What's that? Family devotion. You are concerned. But the other guy just said, look at how this one is dressed. But if it's your son, you don't say, look at how this one is dressed. You go. Hallelujah. Because that is philostogos. Philadelphia. You see the person just like yourself. Praise the Lord. Are you following this? Come on, guys. Are you following this? So you see the person kindly affectioned one to another. Then he says, now look at the word Philadelphia. It's used a lot of times. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4-9. Brotherly love. 1 Thessalonians 4-9. But as touching, let's take it together now. Come on, let's take it together. 1 Thessalonians 4-9, let's go. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Can you see that now? You are taught, say I'm taught of God to love the brethren. Hebrews 13:1. It says, let brotherly love continue. So I said, what about sisterly love? You don't know what the Bible is talking about. 1 Peter 1:22. Same thing. So you should be fervent about brotherly love, brotherly affection. 1 Peter 1:22. And 2 Peter 1:7, two times. Hallelujah. I have the capacity to love the brethren of any shade or color. Come on, raise that. Come on, say, of any shade. I didn't say shadi, I said shade. Of any shade or color. Let me add one more. Or tribe. I won't say of religion. That'll be political, right? Or tribe, you know. I love the brethren. One of the fruit or the proof of salvation is a love for the brethren. Love for the brethren. Just like Paul wrote here in Romans 12, in verse 10, and 9 and 10. He also says the same thing. Let's follow this now. Galatians chapter 5. Chapter 5. Verse 13. Let's take it together now. Galatians 5:13. Let's go. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only not use for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, what do you do? By love, you serve one another. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul in verse 15, let's take it together. Ephesians 1:15. Let's go. With I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints. Hallelujah. See that? Faith and love. Look at Philippians 1. Colossians 1. Same thing. And verse 4. Let's take it together. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of love which you have to all the saints. So proof of faith. Love to all the saints. A proof of faith. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let's see. Second Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it's meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly, and your love, that's what charity, of every one of you toward each other abounds. See? He talks about again, the love for all the saints. It's a proof of faith. That you love believers. So, you cannot serve God, last week we said that, you can't serve God without serving men. Serving God is serving men. Serving people. You can say, I love Jesus. Where? Where is Jesus? He's in my bedroom. Loving Jesus is loving his church. You love them. So that's why sometimes if you get into doctrinal debates with people, ensure that you don't step out of love, and then you start to get very hot, and then you are actually no longer talking the gospel. You are now getting abusive. Praise the Lord. Say, I love the church. Say again, I love the church. So, Romans 12. You learning something? Romans 12. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So prayer is one of the vital ways we serve the Lord. We pray. Now, listen carefully now. Do you discover very well, if you found out, I've said this many times, that most instructions to pray in the epistles, most of them, in fact 90%, are not personal prayers. They are prayers for others. Most instructions. There's only one that stands out above all, and it's James 5:13. If any be afflicted, let him pray. That's the only scripture that looks very personal. The others aren't as straightforward. If any is afflicted, the word afflicted there is in sickness. It means hardship. If you're going through trouble, that's what he means. The same word that Paul had used earlier, we'll see that, in 2 Timothy 2:9. Enduring hardship. In 2 Timothy 4:5. Hardship. Which, interestingly and funnily, might relate more to persecution. Very similar to Philippians 4:9. Be anxious for nothing. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ. Obviously, that verse is not strictly talking about praying for things. It's prayer in the midst of persecution and hardship, just like in Philippi. You know, Philippi was written to a church that was undergoing trials and persecution. Now, why then, why were the apostles more teaching about praying for others or praying in the midst of persecution? Why was there not much evidence of praying for yourself? Well, this is my own thinking. You don't have to subscribe to it. You don't need to be taught to pray for yourself, really. You know to pray for yourself. You know to ask things for yourself. But what the faith does to you is to love others. And so that means the focus of discipleship cannot be praying for yourself. You already know that. The focus of discipleship will be to love others. So if the focus of discipleship means to love others, that means the focus of discipleship in teaching prayer will be to pray for others. Let me see your hand if you understand what I'm saying now. Come on, let me see your hand. You get it? So that is, the focus will be others. You already know how to pray for yourself. You know how to pray for yourself. Or you know what to pray for. James 1:5. If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Again, James 1:5. His prayer strictly about is there. If you fall in a temptation, candle or joy. Again, it's another prayer in the midst of tests or trials. What did these apostles do to us? How those prayers are just about tests and trials, persecution, and then praying for others. What about praying for a baby? What am I talking to you? Yeah, what now? Or praying for a visa. Mark 11:24. For things whatever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, you shall have them. Oh, Pastor, that's before Jesus died. Yeah, I know. Whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. How does the death of Jesus make that look stupid? No. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And since we know he hears us, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. Now, the funny thing about that text again, the very next scripture talks about praying for others. So, it appears like the epistles taught prayer primarily more for praying for others. Hallelujah. Come on. Are you following this? Because if I've taught you to love others, then my focus on teaching prayer will be what? To pray for others. And many don't know how to be fervent praying for others. We say, let's just pray for that brother and that sister and say, Lord, you'll stretch your hands. You don't stretch your hands over, perfect all that concerns him. How can he perfect all that concerns him? What if the brother they perfect all that concerns him in Jesus' name? Thank you, Father, for everything. And then say, now, brother, it's time to pray for every generational problem. Then take off your jacket. Because you are selfish. So, here is Paul. Pay attention. He prays for the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Verse 17 to 22. The God will grant to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe according to the working of his mighty power. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And said in my own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power, might and dominion, in the name of his name. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And I put all things under his feet and give all things to judge his body, all in all. Amen. Chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven has his name. That he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, Christ dwelling in your heart by faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, having prayed this prayer for the saints, he now goes in chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication, chapter 6:18, in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Has he given you the prayer point? How? In chapter 1. He already gave you how to pray for saints, telling you how he prays for saints. So when he says pray for all saints, he expects you to go back to chapter 1. Verse 17 to 23. Chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. Let me see how you understand that. Come on. So that's how to pray for saints. You say, well, let us pray for brother so-so and so. We need to just pray for him and stand with him. What's his name again? Brother, say, mention his name. We need to pray with him and stand with him. Say, for what exactly? Just to stand with him. No. Give me the details. You want to gossip? No, because I need to have prayer points, specific prayer points. If you pray this one, it will solve it. Many prayer meetings sometimes are gossip gatherings. See, we are sharing problems. After the prayer meeting, I didn't know that brother I'm telling you, we used to have a house fellowship in the early 90s, and then we attended. We claim to be praying for others. But after we finished praying, he said, Then, yeah, you know, I leave the fellowship, you say, we need to really pray for him. For a Christian, you need to pray for him. And usually that's the last time you pray for him. So Paul gave you prayer point. Let's pray for sisters so and so. Don't say exactly about what. Why do you want to know? Hallelujah. Are you there? Philippians. Paul is saying the same thing. For this I pray, verse 9, Philippians, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge, in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense in the day of Christ, verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Okay? Verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So how to pray for Paul. But look at 4:6, Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He had given you what to pray about in chapter 1. Same thing, Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 9-11. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you, to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So chapter 4. And verse 2, continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. He had told you already what to pray for. When you are praying for believers, you already know what to pray for. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Not your personal prayer life here now. For yourself, I mean. Chapter 3, verse 10. Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another and towards all, even as we do towards you. To the end, verse 13, that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all saints. So he has told you what to pray for. Paul says we don't stop to pray for this. So when he says pray without ceasing, he had given you what to pray about. Are you still there? Are you still there? So we pray for all saints, insight into the word, strength in the faith to be established in the knowledge of his will. Also we pray for ministers of the gospel. Those who preach the gospel, those who teach the gospel, which we all are, but in this instance, maybe those who are in leadership. Romans 15 verse 30. Romans 15 verse 30. I beseech you, brethren, for the love of Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service shall have for Jerusalem might be accepted of the saints. Pray for me. Ephesians 6, verse 20. Are you in church? Verse 20? Verse 19. You know, we had read praying for all saints. Now, verse 19. Let's take verse 19 together. Let's go. And for me. That utterance, let's go again, verse 19, let's go. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Let's go. Colossians 4 and verse 3. Let's take it together now, without also praying for us, that God will open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds. Verse 4. that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Praise the Lord. So the prayer points are very clear. You are not praying. The focus is not on yourself. You are focusing on the gospel. You are focusing on those who have believed it. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. You know, we read pray without ceasing. Can you remember that? Can you remember that? Pray without ceasing. Oh yeah, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for it is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Look at verse 25. Let's take it together. Brethren, pray for us. Praise the Lord. Pray for us. So the focus on prayer is the love of God for others. The love of God for others. You pray for others. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2. So ask yourself, are these the dominant prayer points in your prayer life? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And that we might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. See that? Look at how many times Paul kept saying, pray for us. That means a whole lot in the life of your leaders, your pastors, depends on how you pray. A whole lot. A whole lot. A fellow who is a servant of God in the house of God never looks out for the errors or the mistakes of his leaders or our leaders. He is busy praying for them. She is busy praying for them. And those who pray don't gossip. Those who pray for others, they don't find time gossiping. Remember, sometimes it's 1996 or 7, I think, one of the 2 years. I remember, you know, a brother came to see me and he's talking to me about another person who was a Christian leader. And then he told me enough gist. Oh, he did this, he did that. Did you hear this? Yeah, I said, I didn't hear it. You know, I stay in Christ, so I don't get to hear these things. Did you hear this? I said, fine. I said, have you prayed for him? He said, no. I said, come. So we're getting down the stairs. I said, you know what? You are the greatest example of a carnal believer. There's nobody as carnal as thee in the whole world. You spent this time talking so much about a brother and you have not prayed for him. So how do you help him? Do you help anyone by gossip? No. Nobody is strengthened by speaking of his or her weaknesses. People are strengthened when you pray. That's what believers. Now, all believers now. Paul is now saying, pray for us. The challenges of a preacher, a pastor, is different from every other believer. He already shares the challenges of the believer with the believers in Christ. Then he has his own challenges because he is in the work of the gospel. So you will do well to stand with them in prayer. I told you on Wednesday, there is no time. We started having World Changers Conference in 1998 in Ibadan. There is not one where we didn't have to pray for the leading ministers in Nigeria. Not one. We spend hours praying for them. And there are other meetings we do that. We pray for them. Even those that we know that the things they teach are not correct spiritually, scripturally. We spend time to pray for them. We pray. You mustn't be found just talking. Pray. You pray for your leadership. You pray for your... Don't say, if he's a real man of God, if he's a real man of God, why can't Paul be telling us to pray for him that he be delivered from reasonable men? Is he not a man of God? If God sends you somewhere, he will back you up. He backs us up with the people of God that are around us. They know how to pray for us. when Peter was caught and taken to jail, the Bible says supplication was made continually by the church for Peter. Acts 12 and verse 5. Did he say, I've been saying it the way he has been writing books these days. You see, one has to use wisdom. Such people will never pray. I've been sensing, you know, some people, they're always sensing something. I've been sensing. They will never pray. Those who pray, they pray. Hallelujah. A good wife will spend more time praying for her family, her husband, than talking about the faults of her husband. A good husband will spend the time praying for his wife. Because people say that, go and marry a praying wife. And so what will you be? My wife is a praying wife. So where are you? You are a drunkard. No. There's no scripture for women pray for your husband. There's not one. It's just an African thing. You pray for each other. Are you there? You pray for your spouse. You spend so much time complaining about your children. And when you are even going to pray for them, say, that demonic spirit that is in you. Hola. Hola. Kule. I speak to... Is that prayer? And as you are praying, you are bringing out, okay, that demonic spirit, I say in the name of Jesus, out! You are even making your children hate prayer. What kind of prayer is that? Yeah, amen, amen, oh, yeah, amen! You spend time praying. And when you pray for your children, you know, you always speak words of faith. I know you grow up and know the Lord. I know you will serve the Lord. Even when they do childish things. I remember someone saying, my daughter is doing this. My daughter, hey, Pastor, what do we do? She has said all that. I said, didn't you do the same thing? Actually, I did. Are you not the one you're talking to me? Calm down. Just pray for her. And surround her with faith and love. You will never like to give birth to a baby adult. She gave birth to the child. Just say, let me help you clean the floor. You get it? That's what is called parenting. You be patient. When some pastors complain to me, sir, my church members, they're giving me stress. Why are you their shepherd? For their money. That's pastoring. Everybody cannot be the same. You will enjoy pastoring. Everybody is the same. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The person that just say, so? That's why you are the pastor. And so you pray more. Some will say, hallelujah in your presence, but in their mind, rubbish nonsense. That's why you are the pastor. Hallelujah. As a parent, kids will be kids. Praise the Lord. You pray for them. And you speak words of faith. Just like God does to us. You know, some of us are really problem children in Christ. But you know, His word doesn't change. He encourages us. To some people, it's God that will identify you that you are His child. Even Satan is confused. You know, Satan understands eternal salvation. He knows it. But he's wondering whether it is true. God said, no, it's my son. Hey, check where look. This one is different too. Hallelujah. Someone say, pray for us. Say, pray for us. Learn to pray for people. A prayer life that is for yourself is not service. It's selfishness. Paul says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run and have a free course and be glorified. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 1. Even as it is with you, that we might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. I remember I was talking to a senior minister of the gospel. If I, he's not senior, he's very, very senior. He's passed on now. So I asked him about a prominent preacher in the country then. He said, what happened to this man? And he said, have we prayed for him? She said, we've not prayed for him. That you think God chooses perfect men? It's not true. God doesn't choose perfect men. So we pray for him. Preachers make discretion, indiscreet decisions. Preachers make errors. But we pray for them. Hebrews 13. Hallelujah. A fellow said years ago, he said, Paul saying pray for us was because he was not yet solid. I saw him years later. I said, I can see you are solid. Hebrews 13. Look at verse 18. Read this one out. Come on. Read it out. Let's go. Pray for us. For we trust that we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. So look, we have good hearts, right? We want to do fine, but pray for us. Hallelujah. You pray. So how is your prayer life like? If you say, how is your prayer life? It's not how often do you pray for car and house. No. How often do you pray for others? Serving the Lord. Your love for others is a reason why you pray for them. Imagine if all of us in this church would pray for one another. So often, what growth we'll experience in our lives. We pray for one another. We don't talk about each other behind our backs. And we just spend time praying for one another. I remember a dear minister of the gospel in Nigeria who had a divorce in his marriage. And then somebody had told me about it even before it became public. And so the person was very close to the family. And so he called and then said, oh, so and so is happening to this preacher's marriage. Now, I don't believe many things he believes, but it doesn't change the fact that he's a preacher. So I said, he said, so the other person on the phone said, what are the details? I said, no, we don't need the details. You've already told us his home is under a lot of tension. That's sufficient. And that already translates to his ministry. I said, assuming you wanted me to cancel him, then the details might be necessary. But you see, I don't yet have the glory to sit with the man about his life. So telling me the details will actually be gossip. I said the best person to tell is someone that can talk to him, and that's not me. So I caught the phone, not wanting to hear the gist. Pray for him. And immediately, I told those who were with me, so we have to pray for this man. And that's all to it. So we must learn how to preserve people in prayer, believers and ministers, and not handle things in a worldly format or fashion. Are you still there? I said, are you still there? 2 Timothy 1:3. Paul says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Are there people you pray for night and day? I'm asking you now, church. Are there people you pray for all the time? You always pray for them. Look at the prayer life of Jesus. Luke 3:21. How did Jesus pray? Jesus, when he was being baptized by John, Luke 3:21, he prayed. What was he praying about? Wasn't praying for things. Luke 3:21. In Luke 5:16, the Bible says, Jesus, please look at this, he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. That is, he went to a secluded area to pray. Luke 5:16. Luke 6:12. I want us to see this one together. Luke 6:12. Let's read this one together. Luke 6:12. Are you there? All right, let's go, church. It came to pass in those days that he went into a mountain to pray and continued how? Continued how? Now, the minimum time Jesus spent here was 12 hours. Because all night to the Jew is 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. It continued all night. Hallelujah. That's Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh. All night he prayed. Let's go further. And later on, so ask me, what were disciples doing? They were taking down the timing. In Luke 9:28, he now takes his disciples with him. It came to pass, about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went to a mountain to pray. Now watch this very well. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistening. So he took them to pray. So he took them to pray. That's what you call training. He went there to train them. But you know what? Look at verse 32. Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. Can I have an amen? Amen. What's heavy with sleep? Heavy with sleep. Man, they were sleeping heavy. You know, say, it's not right to ask you to pray and you know they are tired. When these guys tired? They were tired. Let the service to the Lord is from the heart. It's from the heart. If you are, if in 10 minutes you are done, you are done. You are done. Just be lifting your hands. So say, I don't pray again, I just give praises. I can see it all over you. They were dozing. Heavy. So some of you have predecessors. Forefathers in the faith. How can you follow Jesus to pray? Imagine if those guys were around you. They say, I love the man. Anyway, I wish I was there with Jesus. Oh, yeah, come. And they went there. And they slept off. Imagine you left your home to go and pray, and you got to where you went to go and pray, and then you slept. That's serious. Let me explain again. You left your home. Where are you going? I'm going to pray. You got to where you ought to pray, and you slept off. I went for a vigil in 1996. And as we're going for the vigil, people went to vigil with mattresses. I said. And they went to, as the prayer started 1 hour, there was just rapture of the saints. By 5 a.m., people kept coming out. It is a great day. Mattresses. But if they had problems in their lives, real problems though, no, there is Bodmer's problem. There's algebra. But when you now have further math problem, you know, in further math, you don't use brain. Say, it's time to pray. Say, yes, sir, I'll pray. You are a selfish person. Are you still there? They went to pray and they slept off. So they slept off. You actually said it. But in Luke 22, verse 44, you'll have thought he will say, you who are sleeping, I won't take you again. He took them again. Someone told me, someone said, Pastor, when we had that prayer meeting, somebody was sleeping. He will come again. One day he will stop sleeping. But don't stop training the person. There was a brother like that. Okay, can you remember? He was praying, and we were praying on the hard surface, and he was going down like this. Jesus. That would have been Huticus 2. Luke 22, verse 40. Pray, that you enter not into temptation. So he took them to pray, and he knelt down how he was praying. He took them to pray. He knelt down, he was praying. He took a distance from them, right? When he was praying. Look at something about his prayer. Verse 44. Being in agony. So the agony. He prayed more earnestly. That means he was shouting. So say, now that I've understood who I am in Christ, my prayer is now like ice water. Rabahaska. Levanoga. Gegagaga. Jesus prayed earnestly. So now the Bible says, blood fell from his body. Wow. If you see, if some of people see Jesus now, this thing is it. He doesn't know the word. He doesn't know Christ. If you know Christ, you'll be praying with tea. Thank you, Father. You have done it. He's done. He's praying earnestly, blood's coming out of his body, he's shouting, and he's not asking for things. You come to service, let us pray. So you put your hands in your pockets. Look at this. Verse 45. Imagine, can you imagine this? You're a prayer leader. You are praying that way, you are shouting blood, and then you see your disciples, they are sleeping. He found them sleeping for sorrow. No, let me give you the exegesis of that. You know the kind of thing? A sound from heaven like a rush mountain wind. Some people would, they will snore and the whole church will hear, bro. But you know what? It shows that Jesus didn't stop training them. See what now happened. To the same people in Acts 1:4, Acts 1:14. Look at this. And this all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. So the training eventually paid off. I'm grateful to Rema Chapel. Now I learned prayer in different ministries that brought me up, Youth Foundation Ministry. We will go for retreats and pray all night. But I remember the one that took a turn for me was a prayer retreat I attended in 1994 under Rema Chapel. So we went for it. They call it the Intercessors Congress. I didn't know what I was in for. My head of department just said, we're going to have a great night. All right, no problem. So we got to the prayer meeting. I expected the normal rehearsals for prayer. No rehearsals. They just shared the word, 20 minutes. Let us pray. Okay, let's go. I play like play. 6 hours, 10 hours. When is it going to stop? They say, it's for 2 days. Some say, we'll take a break then another day. I looked at my HOD. Father Nash, you didn't even hint me. Nothing's very far. So I'm going to go. You should have told me now. I'll have been prepared. Would you have come? If they had hinted me, God was not taking us by surprise, I would have come. So I said, I was going to leave. I was ready to get out of the place. I look for excuse in my head. I have a test. It's 2 weeks time, but I have to start preparing because this is it. But I asked myself, if you stay, it's for your good. And I said to myself, nations will be blessed because you stayed. So I stayed. Grumbling, I won't lie. Only prayer, I say, we are still praying. I will pray. So he said, okay, we'll take a break for 1 hour. So find someone to sleep beside. So I went near this brother, just one mattress, and he says he has a prayer body. Not you and I. 1 hour prayer body. Let it now bear his own body. But I'm grateful to God that I stayed. As soon as I left that prayer meeting, and the third day we left, and I went to the ministry I was overseeing then in Ikorodu. As I got there, it was in the evening, and they were meeting. I got there, I shared for 10 minutes, and we prayed till 11 p.m. There was just something I contacted. Hallelujah. It took over the whole place. Prayer, you don't pray and miss. It changes something about you. Are you there? Something changes about you. Glory to God. See, I'm a man of prayer. So, quickly as we close, look at the contents of the prayer of Jesus. Was he praying for what? Okay, the church is his wife. I close here. John 17. How did Jesus pray? This was the only time the content of his prayer was elaborately written. See this. Father, verse 1, the hour has come. Glorify the Son as that Son may also may glorify thee. Look at the pronouns he uses. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3, this is life eternal, that they may know you. Look at the word they. Verse 4, I finish your work. Verse 5, glorify thy Son. Verse 6, I've manifested your name unto men. Verse 7, all things that worship have given me are of thee. Verse 8, have given unto them the words that you gave to me. Verse 9, I pray not for the world, but for them that you have given me, for they are mine. Then he began to pray for his disciples and for believers. This was how he prayed in Gethsemane. This was a prayer. This was a prayer that brought blood out of his body. This was a prayer that got him to agonize. Not praying for himself, but praying for believers. So if you're asking for the prayer ministry of Jesus, that's it. Praying for others. Because he loves us. When you love people, you pray for them. If you love the church, you pray for the church. If you love your pastor, you pray for your pastor. Pray for your leaders. You pray. Hallelujah. See, I serve the Lord. I love the church. I receive the ministry of prayer. And I pray for others. Let's take 5 minutes. Pick your neighbor. Just pray for them.